Case today is number 073119, Sobitan against Glood and the United States. Ms. Hoffman.
Good morning, Your Honor. I represent the appellant in this case, Babajid Sobitan. Today, the government asked this court to construe the Westfall Act to preclude treaty actions for damages against federal officials simply because they fall under self-executing United States treaties rather than acts of Congress. Such a result should not be allowed and is not the best construction of the statute for three reasons. First, because the natural meaning of the word statute in the Westfall Act encompasses a treaty of the United States. Second, because the history, the context, and the overall purpose of the Westfall Act and the FTCA support that such a reading is correct. And third, that the Westfall Act is read by, as the government would suggest, would constitute an effective implied repeal of treaty claims for damages against federal officials, no matter what the treaty. And such repeals should not be favored by this court and should be rejected. In the first place, the plain and natural meaning of the word statute may indeed include the word treaty. Now, while it's true that the government, as the government states, there is a narrow meaning of the word statute, which is sometimes understood to mean solely acts of Congress, there's also a broader meaning of the word statute which may encompass treaties, and that's apparent from the decisions of the Supreme Court in American Federation of Labor Employees v. Watson. This court noted that a statute encompasses any law which is enacted and which has the force and effect of law, and that would include a treaty in American Federation of Labor that included the Constitution itself. In Stevens v. Griffith, this court also adopted this broader interpretation of the word statute, and indeed this broader interpretation of the word statute is supported by context. It is axiomatic that plain meaning, plain or not, depends on context within a statute, and here we feel that the important context is that provided by Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution of the United States, the Supremacy Clause, which mandates that treaties be placed on equal footing as equal federal law with acts of Congress. Now, there's further support for this reading and this view within our jurisprudence, within the Supreme Court's jurisprudence, and within the Seventh Circuit's jurisprudence. Numerous decisions of the Supreme Court, Whitney v. Roberts, Foster v. Nielsen, the Head Money cases, discuss the status of a treaty and how, when it's self-executing, it can partake of the nature of federal law. Courts discussing treaties have interpreted them in a manner consistent with statutes. They've applied the same body of law to statutes. Treaties are consistently treated as statutes. Whether it's necessary for a court or not to explicitly go out and say a treaty is a statute, the manner in which this court addresses treaties and their status under the Constitution confirm that a treaty may indeed be a type of statute. So at minimum, we have an ambiguity in the Westfall Act. Now, looking further, if we look at the context of the statute itself, its overall structure, if we look at the legislative history of the Westfall Act, it's clear that the Westfall Act did not intend to exclude treaty claims where they provide rights directly under such treaties from remaining viable. The Westfall Act, which was enacted after the court's decision in Westfall v. Irwin, had one purpose, and that was to restore what Congress perceived to be the status quo ex ante that existed before Westfall. And at that time, prior to that decision, the status quo held that, and the commonly held view, held that government employees, when they were acting within the scope of their employment, would enjoy absolute immunity for common law torts. Now, the Westfall decision changed that, and Congress acted swiftly to shift liability from the Westfall, from the federal employees to the government under the FTCA. So the FTCA is, in effect, asking as a substitute in this common law claim, except for certain limited exceptions in 26 and 28 U.S.C. 2680, which exempt certain common law claims from being applied against the United States.
At the time the Westfall Act was promulgated, Ms. Hoffman, was there an understanding that the Vienna Convention would give rise to a private cause of action?
Your Honor, it was not clear that it was. We could find no decision directly addressing the issue, but in 2005 and in 2007, the circuit in Jogi v. Voges 1 and 2 found that in the context of, in Jogi 2, it found that in the context of 1983 under the Gonzaga v. Doe analysis, there is a private right of action for damages. The Supreme Court also continues to assume without deciding in a line of decisions beginning with Briard v. Green and ending with the very recent decision of Medellin v. Texas decided just a few weeks ago that Article 36 creates a private right enforceable in a U.S. court. So examining the legislative history further and the decisions that this court has made on the Westfall Act, it's clear that the Westfall Act didn't intend to create any new claims, and it also didn't intend to extinguish any federal claims. It's carefully worded to preserve federal statutory law. That is, acts of Congress, treaties. There is also an exception for a Bivens suit, and at the time it wasn't clear, and I think it's still unclear, whether Bivens actions arise directly under the Constitution or whether they are federal common law subject arising under the court's power to create a remedy under 1331. So Westfall has been viewed as endorsing the court's decision in Bivens. Furthermore, the fact that this statute addresses itself entirely to the common law, that the statutory regime is intended to allow recovery against the government in tort rather than eliminate recovery, further cautions against this.
Against the government or against the employees of the government?
It is intended to allow recovery against the government as sovereign. The FTCA is a waiver, a limited waiver of sovereign immunity under 1346B, and the Westfall Act effectively shifts the liability that might be against the federal employee to the government by giving those employees absolute immunity for common law torts and allowing recovery against the government as sovereign when they're acting under the scope of employment.
And you don't dispute that if the Westfall Act applies here, that your client did not exhaust his administrative remedies?
Your Honor, we will argue in this case that exhaustion would have been futile because the waiver of sovereign immunity under 1346B, the FTCA waiver, is only a common law waiver. He wouldn't be able to assert a federal claim against the government under the FTCA, so it would be futile. And if there are no further questions, I see I'm into my rebuttal time.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman. We'll hear now from Mr. Cole.
May it please the Court, Counsel. Your Honor, this is not a question. This is not a case involving whether or not there's a remedy available to Mr. Sobeitan under either the Vienna Convention or the Federal Tort Claims Act. The question here is whether or not, under the Westfall Act, substitution of the United States as the defendant in the case is proper. As the Court is aware, the Westfall Act provides absolute immunity for federal employees for wrongful acts or omissions committed within the scope of their employment. There are two exceptions to this absolute immunity. One is for claims brought under the Constitution of the United States, and the second is for claims brought under a statute of the United States that provides for relief. Your Honor, the definition of statute, as Mr. Sobeitan puts forth to this Court, includes constitutions of the United States. That's a very broad definition of statute. It's certainly not the plain and ordinary definition of statute. And if you look at the text of the Westfall Act, It is clear because there is a separate exception for claims under the Constitution of the United States. The definition of statute, as Mr. Sobitons puts forth, just simply cannot be correct. I believe if you asked an eighth grade civics class what a statute was, they'd tell you that it was a bill passed by the legislature and signed by the president. If you asked a group of law professors or judges, they'd probably tell you about the same thing. Certainly, the very, very broad definition of statute, as Sobitons puts forth, is not the plain or ordinary, by any stretch of the imagination, definition of statute. Mr. Sobitons' argument essentially conflates whether or not substitution is appropriate in this case with whether or not there's a remedy under the Federal Tort Claims Act. And that is simply not proper. The question here is just a very narrow one, whether or not a treaty is a statute of the United States. The other concern that Sobitons raises is that there would be no remedy if the United States were substituted. And that's also simply not the case. As the Supreme Court noted in Sanchez-Yamas, the primary means of enforcement of the Vienna Convention are political means, are through diplomatic avenues. That's how this convention gets enforced. That's how the Department of State enforces the convention. When they hear reports of the convention not being followed, they investigate it, and they issue an apology to the complaining country if necessary, and they educate the entity that was not following the convention. That's how this convention gets enforced. In addition, Your Honor, qualified or absolute immunity provides protection to this suit. Qualified immunity is applicable here to Officer Glud because the individual right of counsel notification was certainly not established in 2003. In fact, it may not be well established today. This court held in Yogi 2 that there is an individual right to counsel notification. But that's certainly an open question in other circuits. The Supreme Court has not ruled on the question and has, in fact, expressed some skepticism that there is such an individual right in the March case, March 2000 opinion in Medellin. And it certainly is an open question. As to whether or not treaties are law, as Sobitons puts forth, well, of course treaties are law. That's not the issue here. Just because treaties are law doesn't mean that treaties are statutes. And that really is the question. If the court has no further questions, I will stand on my brief.
Apparently not, Mr. Cole. Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time does Ms. Hoffman have? Thank you.
Your Honor, I'd like to briefly address a couple of points covered by the government and their argument. I'd just like to be clear what is at stake here. The substitution and the dismissal provisions of the Westfall Act work together. Thus, once there's a substitution of the United States as a party, the only actions properly against the United States, since there's no waiver of sovereign immunity that the United States is affected, this is, in fact, an implied repeal of the damages action that this court recognized in Jogi v. Voges, the 2007 opinion. This is, assuming there is a damages remedy available to Mr. Sobitons, he should be allowed to prove his damages, pursue his action in court. And this reading of the Westfall Act that the government urges upon us today is not the most natural reading because it sub silentio repeals such a damages action. In the second place, a constitution is indeed a type of statute under the definition that we submit, but as I attempted to explain, in my the first portion of my argument, the degree of caution that Congress exercised in delimiting a separate exception for a Bivens claim does not necessarily indicate that it viewed a constitution not as a statute, that it, in other words, adopted this narrower reading of statute, but may rather merely indicate that there was uncertainty as to whether this was a claim directly under the Constitution rather than a judicially created remedy under 1331. And further on that point, the government in its brief has attempted to state that many other cases have addressed this issue. We would disagree that they have. There's a difference as the recent decision in may I finish, Your Honor? As the recent decision in Medellin affirms, there's a difference between international law actions under non-self-executing treaties and domestic federal law under self-executing treaty as we have here. And for these reasons, we would ask for a reversal and remand. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Hoffman, did you serve by appointment? Well, you have the deep thanks of the Court for your fine efforts on behalf of your client in elucidating this very difficult issue. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel for their fine briefs and oral arguments today, and the case will be taken under advisement.